Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
On the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hello, friends. You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon. Winner of Emmys. Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother.
Uh-huh.
Look it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother?
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do it live on a Friday edition of the program. Bo, the boys with you for the next three. Tim May coming up at 10:33. Doug LeMaurice, 11:33. What we learned this week coming up at 11 o'clock. So the NCAA is going to have to do a little back payment, and then they're going to compensate him going forward. With that being the case, what are the Big Ten and the SEC going to do about it? Could they be reshaping a little bit sooner than we thought? We'll get into that coming up at 10 o'clock. Is it a necessity, quite frankly? This is a true story. This last night. Bootsy and Beamsy had lacrosse practice. It's kind of at the all same complex. Bootsy's finished 15 minutes sooner. NBC was helping his team practice, so we walked over to Beamsy's practice. So it's like in a middle school complex. So there's practices going on in lacrosse, and then in the distance, there's another event going. And Bootsy's sitting there with me, and there is a gunshot. And he kind of shakes. And he goes, "Whoa, what was that?" And I said, "That's a starter's pistol." And he goes, "What's a starter's pistol?" And I said, "Well, they're running track and field over there." And he goes, "What's that?" And I said, "What do you mean, what's that?" I go, there's a starting line. They fire a gun and then they run. And he goes, "Well, how far do they run?" And I said, "To the finish line." And he goes, "Is it the same time, same distance all the time?" And I said, "No, there's different races. Some's 100, some's 200, 400, 800, 16, you know."
Sometimes there's relays. They hand off a baton.
There's a lot going on over there. And he goes, "Oh, well, what's cross country?" And I said, "Well, that you just run for a long time. Like you just, that's a long run."
He had a Ron Burgundy moment.
And I said to him, it occurred to me that he had no damn clue what track and field was. And he's 8. And I thought to myself, how would he know what track and field is? He's not watching the Olympics. He doesn't participate in it. When I was a kid, and certainly when I was 8, you did, the fall sport was football. The winter sport was basketball, and then you played baseball in the spring, but you all had to do track. Like we had field days. Like you had to go do this thing. Like every school would go to a town. It was a different town like every week, and we had it was rural, so there's a town like every 10 or 15 miles with a grain elevator so that everybody could have some convenience for dropping off the grain and making the money. So every one of these little towns would have a little field day and a little track meet, and you had to do it, and that was it. Well, he didn't have to do any of that. They don't do field days. They don't have any of that stuff. He had no damn point of reference on what track and field was.
Yeah, none. That's why, like I was saying, it like sounds like Ron Burgundy. Like apparently, you just run for extended periods of mm-hmm. time. That's going to be Bootsy at school today, telling all of his classmates, "There's this thing called track and field, and another thing called cross country. Just run. That's the whole point. You just try to run faster than everybody else." Do kids still? That used to be like a huge commodity on the playground. Do kids still care who is fastest? Bigly. So they, much.
You can't. I cannot tell you. It does not matter the sport I coach. If it comes time to condition. And you either bring out a stopwatch or you say that there is some sort of, I'm talking all the way through sixth grade, uh-huh. Even those kids, like if you say there is some sort of prize for first, or if you just say, like we have this kid LG who's in Beamsy's grade, who's the fastest. And if you say something like, "Well, who's going to beat LG?" then they go to try to beat him. Like they'll try to beat him. Yeah. So that matters bigly, but there's no, at that age, And I don't even know, like, if Beamsy had it. He was practicing, so I should have asked him. NBC definitely knew of track and field. He had a buddy's sister who ran track and field, and so he had seen it. But I don't know if Beamsy had seen it or not. And it was, as a kid, for me, pretty, like, the Olympics, that's what you did. That's what you did. I was, like, 84 Olympics, six, and I remember it vividly. Like, Carl Lewis, he was a hero. Like,
yeah.
That was the deal. Like, fastest man on the planet was a big, big deal. And it was, again, with Bolt, you know, when he had those couple of Olympics in a row where he was the fastest guy on the planet. And I think it'll be big again this summer, because isn't there an Olympics in Paris this summer?
Yeah, that's what the LeBron and all the NBA guys that's have been talking summer. About getting yeah. ready for. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, with your kids, if you can just, they're too young, but.
No, actually, I don't. I play real sports. I'm trying to be the best at exercising.
If they have that attitude towards running track and cross country.
Let the boy
I hope
watch.
So. They are my children. I hope so.
Did you explain to him the throwing?
No, God, no. The discus and the javelin and the shot put. I wasn't going into that. I didn't have
so it's a metal ball, yeah. And you kind of put it on your neck, and then yeah. you take three steps and launch it.
And just spin and launch it. Oh, my God. I had to, my senior year of high school, this is a funny story. Senior year of high school, they had, in our tiny little school, they would hand out male athlete of the year, right? And so one of the things that you had to do is you had to participate in three sports to do it. You had to participate in all three. You couldn't just be good at one or the other. So my senior year, I was this was the year I was going to win it. Usually a senior wins it. Sometimes an underclassman win, not very often. And so this was the year to win it. So I had accumulated some stuff in football and accumulated some achievements in basketball. But my younger brother did as well. And so he was a sophomore, and I had more achievement than him in the two, but he was in the vicinity. And so it comes time to track, and I'm like, are you going to do track, dude? And of course he was doing track. Of course he was going to do track. So he ran the 200, and he actually went to state in the high jump and did the long jump and all these things. And so I go to my football and basketball coach, who were like the people who like had the votes. I'm like, do I really have to do track? Really? Like, I hate track. I don't want to do it at all. They're like, dude, you got to do three sports or you're not winning the thing. So I'm like, all right. So I do it and I sign up for track. Well, the basketball coach is the track coach. And I said, look, I'm not going to train. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm going to play this all-star basketball circuit that happens in the spring, and I'll go to some events. And so I faked injuries and went to these basketball tournaments and whatever. So it comes time to the district meet. And he goes, dude, you got to run. And I go, what do you mean? I'm in track. He goes, you have not ran an event all year. You're not in track.
You're not practicing, you're not, and you haven't anything. Done anything at the meet.
Like, you're making out with your girlfriend where we hide the porta thing for the high jump. Like, you're not doing anything. Like, what are you kidding? I'm watching all of this. And he was a young dude. In retrospect, Mr. Rock, he was like 23, I think, at the time.
Oh, so I'd say he's like getting plenty years. Of action.
That's true. He was only like 5 years older than me. So, like, he knew exactly my act, everything that I was doing. So he's like, dude, you got to do something. So in my head, I'm thinking, like, all right, I've trained for nothing. I have very little. There's nothing that I think I could even be good at. So I just say, well, look, I'll run the 100 and 200. It's over quickest. So I'll do that. Like, that's fine. I'm relatively fast. I'll do that. So we go to do the first preliminary run of the 100, and everybody's putting in starter blocks that I don't have any.
You have to bring your own starter blocks.
I don't even know how to put them in. I don't know how to come out of them. I'd never come out of a starter block in my life. So everybody, and I was, you know, like, we were decent. And so I was kind of known. It was just a clown show. So I was just standing up at the line while everybody else is in starter blocks. And they fire the gun. I swear to God, there's an image of this somewhere back home. I'm the first person in the history of the 100 meters to hit a wall. I was done. I was gassed at 60 meters, done, and just flailing to the finish as people just flew by. So that was totally embarrassing, awful. So then he goes, well, dude, I signed you up for the 200 too.
That's twice the 200.
Dude, out of your mind? So same thing, no starter blocks. I go up there, I stand up, and my brother was in my heat. So my brother Tuck he's 6'5". So I'm like 5'11". So it's a pretty big discrepancy. He's 2 years younger. He's got a much longer stride. So I had no qualifying. So guess where I started? Way out front, right?
Mm-hmm.
Way out front. So I'm way out front. And I'm thinking, okay, this will be all right. So I take off and I don't even make the turn and all of them are passed. My brother zips by me, flies by me, and he qualified. I finished dead last in both of the things, and that was the end of it. I did win the award, though, so I suppose it was worth it.
So that's just extreme spring senioritis. You're just like, I'm not doing track.
It was ridiculous.
Just running in a circle. I'm not. I like the idea, though, of everybody in the starter blocks. Like, did they go, like, on your mark, and, like, did you just crouch down a little bit more?
No, I just like kind of stood there and was like, I just kind of pushed off. I didn't know what to do. I'd never been out of a starter block in my life. I never had to do it. And people say, well, why don't you play baseball? Well, we didn't have in Montana in those days, we did not have high school baseball. In fact, only recently did they have high school baseball. It's in the last 2 years. So you had to play Legion baseball, which happened in the summer because the weather was so inclement.
Okay.
That you didn't, there was no school was over middle of May. And you really even couldn't start playing baseball until the middle of May, like practicing, because the weather was so brutal.
Did you play
There was no high school. I did play that, but you didn't play, but that wasn't affiliated with the high school. So you weren't I wasn't getting any credit for that.
So, now I think I know why Bootsy doesn't know about track and field, because I don't think you want to share your track and field stories with him.
I guess I just did.
Is Bootsy listening?
No, his mom thinks the show starts at 10.
It's true.
I do that sport is one of those ones. There's a lot of those around there. There's another one this weekend, the Kentucky Derby, that these things were these monster things. And the Derby still is, in terms of if you go there, it'll do good ratings and all of that. But you think about track and field and the superstar athletes that were in that sport 30 years ago, 25 years ago. You think about, Bolt's not that long ago, and the Olympics still have the power to galvanize everybody. But even boxing. Like, I don't know I couldn't tell you who's the champion of boxing. Is he?
No.
He's the one fighting Mike Tyson.
But that fight is sanctioned. Like, the Texas Athletic Commission sanctioned it and is an official, it will go on their professional fighting records.
All right. I'm a man, I'm 40. Mike Tyson, I remember his prime as a very young kid going to a bar and watching because it was on closed circuit. The idea that Mike Tyson is still the most relevant thing in boxing probably tells you all you need to know about boxing, if that's the case.
Yeah.
That's the most looked forward to fight is
Mike Tyson. And it's unfortunate because I actually like boxing more than MMA, but there's just not enough like big matches where, like, the last one was when McGregor and Manny Pacquiao, they fought. So that one was like big enough that I went over to a friend's house, we bought the pay-per-view, and not to say that that was like perfect boxing, right? But it was at least like big enough that everybody was into it. But if there were more than, I think I would.
That's still stunt performing.
Yes,
McGregor's an MMA guy. Well,
they had the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and then Mayweather fought McGregor. The Mayweather-Pacquiao was boxing, but it was just Floyd Mayweather running around a circle for
playing defense long enough to make sure he didn't lose. Well, yeah.
And didn't they wait like 10 years too long to do it?
Oh, they were both. They
both went and didn't do it. They didn't fight. Like, the guys didn't fight. So... yeah, so I don't know. You got an education on track and field last night. I mentioned the Kentucky Derby. It's tomorrow. We mentioned this House versus NCAA case, and we had Feinbaum on yesterday, and he talked about when he talked to athletic directors, this is the one that they all had circled, and it's going the way that all of these go. We'll get to that coming up at 9:33. Cavs in action tonight as well. Fun little program for you. We're off and running. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reaser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
And the hoops action is heating up. Hockey 2, Tipico Sportsbook, the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cash back in the industry, up to 5% cash back on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get a $100 bonus when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Kentucky Derby is Saturday. This is one of those things that I would have, when I was a kid, this was the thing. This is like one of the few sports my dad would actually watch with us, was the Kentucky Derby. But he was not interested in any of the pomp and circumstance. He just wanted to watch horses run. Like, that was it. So I took him to the Derby. This has been 2011. Took him to the Derby. My mom was around at that time, and we took, my wife and I took him. It was before any of the boys were around, and we took him. And it was, what I always tell people about the Derby is there is really no middle class at the Derby. It's an event for the ultra wealthy, or it's an event for steerage. Steerage has the time of their lives in the infield. I don't even know if they know what's going on. I think they're betting on anything. Who the hell knows? Ultra wealthy, skyboxes, you can see everything. That, the Millionaire's Row, all of that stuff. I paid, because it was a gift for my dad for, I think he may have been turning 60 or something. I can't even remember. But it was a gift that I did for him. So I did it for him. And so I got like a box seat, right?
Sounds good, right?
Feels fantastic. Seems like it's going to be a big win. I remember paying $1,000 a seat for the damn thing. And we get there, and it was a folding chair in a wooden 2x4 box with no monitor. There wasn't even a place to put a drink. And I went, this is what you get. This is a box.
This is $4,000 right there. Yeah,
that's a lot. It's like my first semester of college tuition.
What was the, right there? What was the view Not of much. The you actual track? Yeah.
The only thing was we were underneath the overhang. So it was raining that day. Animal Kingdom won. It was raining that day. And so like we were able to stay dry, but you couldn't see a damn thing. And there's no monitors because it's just an old building. So there's no way at that time, maybe they have them now, but there was no way to even see that. So you would have to watch it on the big screen that's like in the infield. You'd see like a millisecond of like horses flying by in each race. And then you'd watch it on the screen, which was a football field away. And that was it. So I bet if you go and you go infield with your buddies, it's probably the best time ever. You know, like Bob goes sometimes and he's up there with AJ and they're palling around and then I'm sure that's spectacular. But for me, I was like, this was brutal. And I love the Derby, but it was brutal.
It feels like somewhere that Dizzy Bat would be a popular game in the infield. Are you familiar with Dizzy Bat? Yeah,
that's the spin.
Yeah, so you take a wiffle ball bat and you pour a beer into it, and then you drink out of the wiffle ball bat, and then you spin, and then you try to go to whatever point.
I would say the only problem there is a wiffle ball bat in the infield at Churchill Downs would lead to some sort of a jousting competition that could go bad.
That's probably true, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a great one. It's really cool. Louisville's really cool for that weekend. I couldn't recommend that part of it more highly enough. But just know what you're getting into if you're going to try to go to Churchill Downs. As a one-off, it's like that one, the Daytona 500 used to be. I don't know if that one has any juice. It doesn't feel like that one has any juice anymore. And then Indy, right?
Yeah.
The Indy 500 still kind of has that juice.
Yeah, and it's funny, we were just talking about boxing and how that's kind of fallen off. Like, that used to have that kind of stuff, but those fights just don't come up anymore as, like, something that you're interested in. So those are kind of the ones, but I've never been that interested in the racing sports. Obviously, there's not a ton of commitment to watching the Kentucky Derby, so I always watch that one. And I do sometimes catch the end of a NASCAR race. I like the strategy at the end of, like, should we pit? Do you think we can push it? Do we need to change our tires? That kind of stuff is fun, but I've never, like, watched a three-hour race of NASCAR. I've never sat down and like appointment watched it.
There's no science to naming these damn horses, is there?
Give me the names.
Well, Fierceness has the best odds for our friends at Tipico Sportsbook at +250. Fierceness.
The favorite almost never wins the Derby.
Sierra Leone is +300.
Okay.
Catching Freedom, +800.
All right.
You got Just a Touch, Forever Young at +1,000. Honor Marie.
Okay.
At +2,000 along with Resilience, Door Knock, Just Steel, Stronghold, Track Phantom, Mystic Dan, Mystic spelled with a K, M-Y-S-T-I-K, Domestic Product, but that's just spelled domestic regularly, Endlessly, T-O Password, West Saratoga, Grand Mo the First, Epic Ride, Society Man, Mugatu is a pretty good one.
That's a great
His name. Odds are way, he's the alternate. Come on, Mugatu, somehow get in the race.
Kind of polar with the naming that people either take it a little too seriously or not seriously at all. And there's not anything in the middle. There's not like normal, like what you name your dog in there.
No, there's not. There's no buddy.
Yeah.
No, there's no buddy Kit running in this thing. There's no Odie running in it. Here's the thing with the Derby is you're talking, there's 20 entrants. They always get a full field. So it's complete chaos. That's why the favorite almost never wins because it's so brutal. It's just survival. It's such a spectacle. Like if you're able to survive that, then you can go to the Preakness and the Belmont and maybe make a run at a Triple Crown. But like for the majority of my life, there was no Triple Crown. It wasn't until American Pharoah did it. I don't know. It's been a while now.
2016 or something like
that.
Is that
what it was? I think so. They had it back to back. They had Triple Crown back to back. But like it went from like Seattle Slough to that one. That you went without a Triple Crown winner because it was just brutal.
Isn't right. That's just a ton of ask for the horse.
Well, it's especially to go, 2 weeks in between, so Kentucky Derby, 2 weeks, and then Preakness, and then 3 weeks Belmont. And the Belmont always got them because it's a mile and a half. So it's just a long.
Because Forever Young is coming over from Japan.
That's
so some of these horses are getting flown from the other side of the planet.
The other thing that's happening now is if you do win a Derby, like you'll see, sometimes you'll see them just stop and put them into stud because that's where the money is. So you're just like, hey, let's, before this gets south, let's just shut this down and we'll go to stud. I think Fusiachi Pegasus did that. He was a Japanese owned horse that did that, that won the Derby and then was gone.
Remember in, I think it was 2019 when there was a winner and then there was controversy and they had to go to it. And it just made me think because we talk about the NCAA all the time. Is horse racing the only other sport that does the NCAA thing where they like strip wins even after they've happened?
Might be. Yeah.
Because like they've never taken away a championship in like one of the big sports that we pay attention to.
Not one of the big four. No, you're not stripped of anything. But yeah, they will strip Derby winners.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that. That's right. That wasn't that long ago. Reese, your Cavs going to close this out. Baffert's still banned.
Yeah, and that was his horse, and I forget the name of it, but I think it was 2021. The horse won, but then failed what was a pre-race test, and then they stripped him.
Well, but and Baffert was the best in that business, but he's been banned from Churchill for a while now.
What's the point of a pre-race test if you let the race go and then say, oh, actually, the results came back?
There was the other one where the horse swerved in front of the other horse and then they called it interference.
Mm-hmm. I think that was 2019.
Was that 2019 when that happened?
So that was,
the horse was like, and I'm like, geez, that's.
I remember that
chaos.
One.
There's 20 horses.
Because the Blue Jackets were playing at the Bruins, and they had a watch party in the arena and actually went, and they showed the Derby right before the game started. So they showed the Derby and then went to game action. And then, like, there was people started to get notice on their phone that, like, oh, actually, the horse we just saw win is not the winner. But, like, we didn't watch the coverage after that. We were watching the Blue Jackets game. So it was really weird to be in an arena and everybody, like, figuring that out at the same time.
What was all happening?
Yeah.
I can tell you as someone who in their life has been on a horse running as fast as the horse can run, that there are a few things more humbling as a human to be on the back of one of those things with that type of power.
Horses like don't need starter blocks.
No, they do not need starter blocks. They just a little bit of a tsk and they're gone. The power they have is stupefying to wrap your head around and how fast that they can actually go. Well, it's finally come. This is kind of what we've been talking about for a very, very long time. This is the case. It's headed for a settlement. Pay for play is coming to college athletics, but boy, are there questions. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here we go. Here's what's up on a Friday. This is Ross Dellinger last night. This was the tweet. Per Yahoo Sports sources, new details on a college model that may cost power schools $300 million over 10 years, scholarship expansion, and new roster limits, 17 to 22 million revenue share cap, 2.95 billion in damages tab. The deadline is 40 days implementation, no sooner than the fall of 2025. That was the tweet from last night. This is the one that we've been talking about. When we had Feinbaum on yesterday, he articulated and emphasized that the people in the industry that he had talked to, this was the one that they were paying closest attention to. This is the one athletic directors are preparing for in terms of a war chest, in terms of what's going to have to happen in the sport. There's a billion questions that come out of this. And I think the first thing I thought in my head, honestly, guys, when I read this last night was, are you sure $22 million is going to be enough? Who's representing the players in this? Who's deciding what percentage of the revenue? According to this settlement, 22% of the revenue share is being discussed. Well, in the NBA, in the NFL and NHL and MLBPA, typically that number is closer to 50-50 in terms of the athlete and the ownership. This is clearly employment is what this is now. How in the blue hell could all of these institutions afford it? The short answer to that is they can't. Who's representing the players in this? Who's representing the athletes in this? Because there will have to be some sort of negotiation back and forth in terms of what is important to them. The idea that they put the 22% out there, the idea that they put the cap on there, just opens them up, in my view. Again, not a law degree. I don't even have a bird law degree. But I look at this and I just think to myself, wouldn't this just open you up to more litigation forever? This, like, this is not collectively bargained. This is you saying, this is what we are deciding to pay. Here's a cap of what we will pay. And this is the percentage of the revenue. But doesn't this open you up for litigation?
I feel like this is how you like egg the players on to create a union and like go on strike and try, yes, to get, like, just throwing this out there. And where did the 22% number come from? And also on top of it, that currently, because they have not situated exactly what they're going to do, that's 22% for all of the athletes they want to pay. This isn't just football right now, so that's not going to cover it. But
no,
they say, oh, it's going to cost some power schools upwards of $300 million over the next 10 years, which is a lot of money. But Georgia just agreed to pay Kirby Smart $130 million over the next 10 years. So, like, I think, right, they're going to be able to find it. But it's going to change the economics around things like that. If they really do start to pay it out, I am really interested of what happens, not just the head coaching salaries, but those $2 million coordinator salaries. And then, as we've talked about, all the other coaches throughout an athletic department. And what are those numbers going to look like when you start having to give the money to the players?
Yeah, it was, what was it, Feinbaum earlier this week had said that Texas A&M dismissed staffers and put $20 million in a bank account that's like, hey, this is for that when that happens. It's like, yeah, you might need a bigger boat there, guys.
Yeah, they might. So there's two, you know, follow two parallel paths here. On one side is what you're talking about, Chops, with the notion of, all right, like, are you sure you can still compensate Kirby Smart $13 million a year? Are you sure when you're having to share this money with athletes that you can compensate strength guys $1 million, coordinators $2 million. I mean, Ohio State has two $2 million quarterback coordinators, for crying out loud. That's fact.
Ohio State's where it is coaching now. is like $20 million this year.
Right. So that, all right. So there's that bucket. And then the offshoot of that bucket is when you randomly decide to pay a non-revenue coach $1 million because you got to spend the money, mm-hmm, right? We had Dan Murphy on this week. That's something I think people don't realize. Like, Gene Smith has to spend the money. It's a nonprofit. He can't just have a war chest of cash. He's got to spend it. So you arbitrarily pay coaches money that doesn't make sense for the sport that they coach, because guess what? Their sport doesn't make any revenue. In fact, their sport is a drag on the revenue. Their sport loses money substantially, and yet they're still make an astronomical figure based on that, based on the production financially. They're not running it like a business. They've never run it like a business. This is going to force them to run it like a business. So there's that silo. And then the other silo of it is, are we really going to pretend? So this 22% of revenue, this number that they're on here, you're right, it is for all athletes, but should it be? Or should that money be for the athletes who make the money?
That's where it should be.
This is the problem. This is why this is a nightmare. And then you have the men's basketball figure that's out there too. So you have the 22% of the football contracts, and then you're going to try to do 22% of the men's basketball contracts. So there's the player silo of this, of how do you make sure that the people who actually earn the money are getting it? And then you also, do you see, folks, I'm sorry, like I go cross-eyed even talking like this, because it's so damn complicated.
And then at the end of all of it, when they're the industry sources that are talking to ESPN, they're saying things like, we're still holding out hope that Congress can get involved and really
too late.
Do that. And it's like, Congress isn't going to do it. They've told you many times that, one, your model doesn't work, and two, they're not very interested in setting up the rules for your club. Essentially, they don't do that with the NFL. They don't do that with the NBA, MLS, whatever. That's for you guys to figure out, but you need to pay your labor, because every time they do go into court, that's why they want to settle this and pay about 2/3 of what they would have to pay if they lost. So it's like $2.7 billion instead of $4 billion that they want to settle on paying out. But that's because they know that they're going to keep going. But they also aren't. They will never go the full distance. Every time they do something, it's just a half measure. Mm-hmm. And they still are, for some reason, even though everybody could see, like, if you started paying them from in-house, from the school, that would be an employment agreement. And they still don't want to use that word.
Mm-mm. I wonder if they would increasingly look towards their broadcast partners. Say, hey, help shoulder some of this.
They're going to say, we do. We pay you. That's what the money's for, yeah. Peggy.
You make $100 million a year off television from us.
Yeah, stop paying. Run a better business model. Stop paying your coaches $13 million. Pay the coach $1.3 million, and take the rest of that and spread it out amongst your athletes. That's where it's going to have. You're going to have to run these damn things like a business.
Yeah,
is the reality. That's what's coming. Couple of things in this from some ESPN reporting on this. An industry source, they've got stuff on paper. This is not just lawyers and commissioners meeting and having a cocktail. The snowball is moving downhill. The horizon on this is about a month, which is crazy how quickly this is all moving now. It was for just snail's pace for mm-hmm. years, and now it's just over. It's just an avalanche, because they lose in court one time after another. Along with saving money, the NCAA is also motivated to settle in hopes of laying the groundwork for a system that could help them avoid future litigation. A settlement alone might not provide that protection without additional help from Congress or a collective bargaining agreement with athletes. Yeah, the last one, because you're not getting any help from Congress. So it is going to be a collective bargaining agreement. Folks, you get a lot of things wrong. We told you about this 8 years ago. There's only one path. There's only one path. It's collectively bargained. It is separating football from everything else and running it as a business separate from the rest of the athletic department. If you want to have 34 sports at a place like Ohio State, or however many they have, 34, 36, whatever, then those sports are going to be true student athletes. They're not going to be on charter planes. They're not going to have endless supplies of Nike stuff. They're not going to get new facilities every year. They are going to be what it was a long, long time ago, when you were a true student athlete and the scholarship was the payment. Now, you can still make money on NIL. Absolutely. You got a big Instagram following. You can do something on your own. Sure. Absolutely. But the sharing of the revenue, the only way this is going to work long term, the sharing of the revenue is going to have to be in the sports that make the revenue.
And I can, you know, you can already hear people like, well, is that fair? And it's like, actually, I think the way it is now is unfair, because most students are involved in some extracurricular activity. But, you know, I did student broadcasting. That was something I put a lot of time and effort and, you know, spent a lot of time trying to hone my craft and everything. I didn't have a $450,000 faculty advisor that was helping me out with that. I didn't get free equipment. We didn't get planes that paid for us. We got a small budget, but that's what it's going to be for these sports. And honestly, that's what it should be.
It should be. They made too much. They had to spend it all. And so everybody else got lifted by football and by the men's basketball tournament. They all got lifted. And now they're all in this position where, hey, wait a second. Now this, we can't do, we're not going to be able to do this anymore. No, I don't think so. I think the only path forward is that last line. This is the thing to remember, folks. Without additional help from Congress or a collective bargaining agreement with the athletes, Congress ain't helping. It's the last one.
What is Congress going to do? Pass a law that says you can't sue the NCAA?
There's no path forward on that. There's a lot of layers to this thing. And I know some of you probably don't, most people probably are not for any of this, but this is the reality that we're in. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hey there, friends. It's your Uncle Bo. Remember the first time you failed to perform in the bedroom? Maybe laughed it off. Thought it'll be different the next time, and then it wasn't. Erectile dysfunction, my friends, can be a relationship destroyer. Can lead to embarrassment, frustration, in worst case scenarios, even divorce. Well, there is a solution for you, and they're my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Give them a call today. Tri-State Men's Health treatments work where the pills and herbals fail. They have treatments with success rates well over 90%. So do yourself a favor, schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health here in town today. Your initial visit is $99. Now, what does that include? Medical consult, licensed medical provider, a TNPSA test. If medically advised, a test dose. If that test dose doesn't work, that office visit is going to be free. It is a no-lose win-win for you. Give them a call today. Get your sex life back on track. 800-900-9654. Visit TriStateMen'sHealth.com today for more. So you look, I don't know any path forward other than inevitably what you're going to have to get to if you want the control and you want to stay out of court. It's going to have to be the privatization of football. It's going to have to be the privatization of men's basketball. It's going to have to be a separation of the haves and the have-nots, the sort of haves in the sport. Coming up at 10, well, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to drive this, whatever it is, going forward, and they are going to decide what this looks like. I see no scenario where in the next 5 years the SEC and the Big Ten aren't the two super conferences. I see no scenario how they are not doing their business outside of the NCAA scope entirely. I think the NCAA will exist. I think it'll be there to provide rulings and put on tournaments for the lesser conferences and what's left. It comes to a bigger question, though, and we asked this in the break. Like, inevitably, if it gets to the point where you privatize football and they are just athletes who are paid representing your school on a given Saturday, would you care if they are even students? How important is that to you? My hunch is if we put it on the poll, you would say that it matters a great deal to you that they're students. My hunch is that whether they were students or not, you'd still show up on Saturdays, you'd still buy the gear, and you'd still watch the games. I don't know that it matters as much as you think it does, is I guess the end result of it. Because this is going to be an employee-employer relationship real soon. And what this 22%, this 20 million cap number they're talking about, and if they decide to try and spread this amongst a bunch of different sports, if that is the case, that is just going to open you up and open them up to more litigation going forward. I see no scenario where this is going to be anything other than something to pacify for a couple of years. Certainly not something that will be in place for the long haul. This is going to take a complete rebuild of college athletics as we know it. And that's where we're headed.
Yeah, and I think at least for football, it should be a slightly simpler path, because obviously the NCAA is still the tournament for basketball, and that's the huge cash cow for that one. But football is already kind of private in that sense. Like, the postseason is all theirs. It just belongs to the member schools that are competing in the college football playoff or the conferences that have a conference tournament. The NCAA doesn't put on any of those events, so they don't really have to, like, divest any way from the NCAA other than saying that, like, you just aren't the governing body anymore. But we've talked about that so many times. Who wants to be the governing body? Like, somebody would have to be in charge of it. And if the NCAA was kind of being cut out of it, I would imagine, like, at what point does the NCAA tell them to kick rocks too? and just say, we're done with it. We don't sponsor football.
They just dissolve?
We don't. I don't know if they'll dissolve because there's still some money to be made. But like we're talking about with those non-revenue sports and the economics of them and how they're going to have to change.
Yeah.
The NCAA is going to have to change. You're not going to be able to hire people in the twilight of their career and pay them a few million dollars every year. And that's not really what that job should be once you're not running a billion-dollar basketball tournament. And really, you don't have anything to do with major college football at this point.
NCAA 501c?
Probably, but
are they
I don't
a tax
know for
exempt
sure.
organization?
No. Again, no bird. Don't spring bird law questions on me on a Friday, Reese.
The NCAA tax exemption and college athletics.
I just wonder, like,
it's a nonprofit organization for sure. That's what it says. Here's a page from May 4th of 2021 that just says finances. As a nonprofit organization, the NCAA puts its money where its mission is, equipping student athletes to succeed on the playing field, in the classroom, and throughout life. All right. So actually, they're altruistic and they're good. Never mind everything we've just said.
At what point does the Scrooge, I mean, does the pile of money run out for them and they just go the way of every business without cash?
Well, as long as they have their mitts on the men's basketball tournament and the revenues that come from that, then they're fine.
But couldn't...
When does that stop?
I was about to say, and I know we'll discuss, you know, Sankey and Petiti's positions coming up, but at what point does that get wrestled away from them because everything else has fallen apart for them?
That's where the VCs are going to come in. We're talking about that group of five playoff and the super conference have it, but like that is a much better route if you're a venture capitalist to like get in somewhere for two reasons. One, okay, if you create another tournament that is more attractive for whatever reason, maybe you're paying the athletes, I don't know,
sure,
that you can start to siphon away from the NCAA. And on top of that, the NCAA doesn't negotiate the basketball tournament correct. It's probably worth more than $1 billion, but they just say, CBS and Turner, you get the contract again. So if somebody goes out there and says, we're the basketball tournament, what's that number going to look like annually?
I mean, Fox is trying to do that with the NIT.
Yeah, you're right. They're already doing it.
I was talking to Andrew Marchand yesterday about the NBA and he's used to be sports. What was he with? New York Post. Now I think he's with the Athletic. And I was asking about the NBA package that's coming up. And he said they're expected to be about double what they're currently making. Now they have deteriorating ratings, right? Like No one's watching like they were. But it's still going to be about double because Amazon's going to get a package. Amazon's going to get a conference final. Like all of those things are happening. And it's a long shot that Turner will be getting a piece of any of it. So why am I telling you this? So if that sport, which is deteriorating interest, is going to double its revenue, what would this one do? What would football do if they were all locked in together? What would football do if the SEC and the Big Ten said, hey, let's go at it alone and let's negotiate this like we're the National Football League and let's keep all of the money? What would that look like? What if they decided to do the same in basketball? How did this happen? Long and winding road, but this is where we are, and we'll get to the power that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have and how they decide to wield it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
We were talking about the Kentucky Derby and horse names, Rich, earlier in the program before we got into the legalese with the NCAA. Rich with this. Horse names can't exceed 18 places, letters and spaces, can't include horse names, colt, filly, mare, etc., and can't have ever been used before. Anything else is fair game, including obscenities, but races can either bar horses from running because of their name. That's how you end up with the names that you end up in the Kentucky Derby. That's the way.
We should get a horse, name it Bishop and Friends. That would fit, right?
That's in the spaces?
I think that's in the 18.
I'm gonna tell you something.
It's got to be just in it.
Now we're tweeting.
I'm going to tell you something about horse ownership.
It's not worth it.
Don't do it.
It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on. Lots. Yeah. Lots of it. Anytime. Especially one thing like where I grew up and you put them in a pasture and you know, they're mm-hmm. fine. But here, boy, if you don't have acreage, you're stabling and then you're exercising.
You got to go out there a few times a week.
You're exercising. Yeah, you got to exercise. You got to compensate for that. Like, it is a money pit of all money pits. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. They're cool. I like them. I'm glad I grew up with them. But it's a full day. And then when you talk about like racing them, my God, forget it. No chance. No chance on that side of things. There was an HBO show that the guy who did Deadwood did. I think it was called Luck.
Yeah.
That David Milch did it. And Dustin Hoffman starred in it as he was in it. It was incredibly shot. The most realistic horse racing stuff I've ever seen. As it turns out, far too realistic because some horses were killed during the shooting. They were filming it out at Santa Anita. And a couple of horses were killed during the shooting of it. So it only lasted like one season. That's it. But it was the story of like the people who would go to Santa Anita and bet and then the owners and the trainers and kind of that whole cross section. I want to say Nick Nolte was in it too.
Did it want to get like into like the underbelly?
Oh, it was all underbelly.
Isn't that what Nick Nolte did in Blue Chips too? Is that his MO? He stars in those movies.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, this was it. It was called Luck. It aired for one season. Dustin Hoffman, Nick Nolte, Dennis Farina were among the people in it. Yeah.
What year was that?
2011.
Okay.
Yep. And it's got to be. Yeah.
Maybe that's why you wanted to go to the Derby so bad. You watch that show and then we're like, hey, I should go to the Derby.
Right after it. The series was canceled March 2012 due to animal safety concerns. Three horses died during production of the series. The first season's remaining episodes continued to air. The first complete season was released. Remember this DVD and Blu-ray on November, in 2012. I assume it's on Max streaming. Isn't everything that's ever been done on HBO on Max?
Feels like their whole catalog's there.
No, they are actually weird about it and will take things off. And they've like, so Max, HBO Max originals, some of them just got deleted when it became Max. And they're doing a really weird thing now where they have finished movies. Two of them, the Batgirl one. And then there was one called, Coyote versus Acme that was like a Looney Tunes live action mashup. And both those movies are like finished and they just shelved them and made them tax write-offs instead. So it's better for them business-wise to shelve a completed movie than to put it onto their streaming service.
Wow. Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting is when I went into the Netflix the other night, into that portal, I noticed that a bunch of HBO series were on there, like Band of Brothers was on there, Sex and the City was on there. Like, so they're farming them out to them.
Because they're not making enough on Max right now, yeah.
So they're not doing enough, which is crazy because HBO as a standalone, like HBO in and of itself was always wildly profitable because it was the $15 a month.
Right.
And that channel was wildly profitable. But when it's folded into a huge conglomerate that includes Discovery and Warner and everything else, that's where it loses that growth.
And so, and now it's too messy. Whenever you go into the Max app, you're like, what are all these shows? I want the HBO stuff. I don't want to watch any of these random Discovery Plus reality shows that they have on there. But I would imagine for Warner Brothers, especially because they don't fully have their hand in this pocket yet. You know, with they have TNT relationship with Turner and stuff, but they really want to get that streaming service up and going for sports.
Everybody does. And that's, so that goes, I was telling you that conversation I had with Marchand yesterday. Like Warner could be out totally on that because what it's going to come down to, the NBA package, ESPN's going to have a piece of it. Amazon is going to have a piece of it. And Amazon's chunk is going to be big. They're going to have a conference final. Yes. That's happening. So you're going to get that on Amazon Prime. So no flipping for me on that. That will suck. But then the other part is, the last tier of it is between NBC Peacock and TNT. So TNT is part of Warner. So what they were banking on is having an NBA product as part of their streaming service. Mm. So you could get it on Max. In fact, you can watch sports on Max now. You can, when you go in there, there's sports options that you can watch on there. One of them is the association. So if that relationship ceases, then there's a twofold effect of that. Number one, all of a sudden Peacock becomes probably the second biggest sports streamer behind ESPN.
Yeah.
Because they would have the Big Ten catalog. They have Big Ten, all the Big Ten basketball. And then they would have the NBA.
And Premier League, too, right?
And that's Premier League. That's right. That's correct. Yes.
WWE, for what it's worth, as far as sports go, too.
So all of a sudden, Peacock would become second only to ESPN as a sports streamer. And then you'd go back to NBC for the probably have NBC Network for some of the stuff too. They'd probably do that. Warner would have what's left. A little bit of hockey.
They still play some of the Turner Braves games on TBS, right?
I don't know. You said it.
Yeah, I knew they used to. I don't know.
Well, when I was a kid, every Braves game was on the Superstation, but I don't know. I don't know if they still do or not. I'm not seeking out Braves games, but like they have a little bit of hockey. They got a little bit of baseball, I think, still with the postseason, but that's not how you buy a streamer.
And they probably have, I mean, for some people, it might be number one, but Inside the NBA is probably the second most popular like studio sports show, second to like College Game Day.
I think it's the most popular.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the most popular. I think it's the most influential, popular studio show that's ever been done. I don't think it probably has. My hunch is its ratings are bigger than Game Day, be my guess, because Game Day's a little under 2 million.
And they always get to lead in and out of big NBA games, too.
Always. Yeah. Yeah. So they always have, especially postseason, they do so many more episodes of it, too. I guess they go once a week, but it's such a longer season. Inside the NBA is probably the best studio show. I mean, it's probably the best studio show ever because so much of College Game Day is the atmosphere that it sets. You know,
I mean, why the basketball one doesn't work the same way.
No, even if you're at Kansas or something like that, it doesn't quite have the same juice. Inside the NBA primarily because of Chuck, but then Ernie is probably the best point guard I've ever seen in terms of a TV guy who can keep the train on the tracks and then also allow for tomfoolery. But what happens to that show? All of those guys would be free agents at that point, and they'd probably go to highest bidder. Go ahead,
Reese. Well, Ernie Johnson, like you had this yesterday, I believe, brother. Ernie Johnson is going to stay at Turner no matter what.
Yeah.
That was what was being reported, is they'll keep him to do in whatever role. Because he was even really good with college basketball when they had their tournament coverage on True or
Doesn't he do the CBS stuff too? He does the A studio for college basketball. Like it's him and Clark Kellogg. It used to be Greg Gumbel, but it was him this year.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because we're talking earlier, I think it was this week, it might have been late last week, but Sims leaving the CBS NFL show and Matt Ryan coming in. We were like, which one is on which? And that's the NFL. And yet we all know exactly who the lineup is on Inside the NBA.
Yes. Yeah. So the other thing with Ernie, his dad was a Turner guy. So then he's a Turner guy. Plus, at his age, like, is he going to jump ship? The one thing I think you could see him doing is if it's Amazon, he could do like Herbie and he could do both.
Yeah.
If it's Amazon. I don't think he could do both. If it's Peacock NBC, then I think you're out. But I think he could do both. If this does indeed happen and Turner loses the NBA, then I would say that Charles Barkley would be the biggest bidding war. I mean, is it 20 some million a year for Chuck? If you're ESPN, like ESPN's been floundering for 20 years trying to come up with something that they could go head to head with Turner on. What better way to go head to head with Turner than to just hire Charles once Turner doesn't exist?
Yeah. I mean, if Troy Aikman has a base salary of $27.4 million to call Monday Night Football, and Chuck's worth that neighborhood for basketball. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. You could put him on First Take if he ever wanted to do that type of stuff. And, yeah, you could absolutely do that if you wanted to. And this folds back into the conversation we were having about where we are with college athletics and this revenue split that is coming. This NBA number that Marchand told me about yesterday of doubling their current television package, I couldn't wrap my head around this. And in fact, even Mark Cuban in the recent years, like, hey, we got to prepare that we are approaching crescendo here in terms of what we can make, and that eventually this is going to go the other way, but this will be one more bite at the apple. Now, Marchand told me that they're talking about this as a 10-year agreement. So that this is like an ACC ESPN agreement, right? So why would you do that? You wouldn't do that unless you were convinced that the numbers that you could get now won't be duplicable down the road or improved upon down the road. The NBA is run by really smart people. They would not sign up for no decade-long agreement unless the feeling was, this is the big apex. It's downhill a little bit from here.
Yeah, because right now they have the last thing, you know, foreseeable right now. Who knows what technology will become? As VR glasses become big, maybe that's going to be another revenue stream for them. But right now the streamers are so interested in continuing subscriber growth that they are willing to overpay for this product. But they don't have to look much further than the other sports around here. We've been talking about Major League Baseball and the NHL in this breadth. Like, those ones, I do think they are going to have lower numbers the next time that they're negotiation window for the television deal comes up. And the NBA, I think you're right, would be shortly behind that at the next time their deal comes up. But if it's 10 years away, it's hard to predict what the landscape would be, but it doesn't seem like they're going to have another windfall. Like, what? Who's going to want to pay more after this run?
This talk's got me thinking. You remember when the NBA tried to do the Top Shot digital collectibles? Like, they tried to get in on the NFT market with, like, you could own this, like, digital blockchain highlight.
Yes, I remember that well.
But did your kids ever have any interest in doing that, like, on any of the games?
I had a buddy who...
they didn't. There was a little window is they really got into, like, the trading cards for a little while.
Yeah.
And then they would say, like, oh, I got a Luka Doncic this. Dad, this is worth $12,000. And I would say, well, let's go sell it right now because it ain't going to be worth that in 10 years. And then they would kind of disappear a little bit, but that was about the only thing. They didn't get into the NFT stuff.
Yeah. I had a friend who liked the Top Shot stuff, not for like actually owning them, but he likes gambling and he day traded.
That's the way to do it.
With the Top Shots. And now it went away. Nobody cares about him anymore, but he enjoyed doing that.
Those people there was huge money on those.
I think a lot of those things, including sports memorabilia, are some sort of money laundering or tax thing that the rich people do now, because the numbers are just too large, and all of a sudden all the sports memorabilia is worth millions of dollars.
I think in this sense you'd be accusing Timmy Hall of participating in money laundering.
Timmy Hall was an NFT guy?
Oh, not NFT, but he was in like the base. He was into cards.
Oh,
was a pandemic hobby that blew up, and there are a handful of people here, including Timmy Hall, that were big into it.
Yeah, you like couldn't get trading cards for, like, you would go to Target, like,
Meyer
on the
and
day
Target would have signs
them.
Saying one box per person.
Yeah, I mean, a pack of cards would, I mean, because we would do it for the boys for Christmas, like a pack of cards would be like $28 for eight cards. Well, what just happened? Doesn't even make any sense.
It's all the foil they put on the card. It's expensive.
It's got to be. This one has a hologram, Dad. Coming up next, the SEC and the Big Ten, Petitti and Sankey. How do they navigate it? I think there's one path that makes the most sense. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And, well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Producers, co-hosts, friends, some of those things are true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And of course, we are sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, fast, sustainable weight loss without medications, a solution for weight loss. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Tony Petitti, Greg Sankey, they're going to run this thing going forward. To me, it seems to behoove both of them. We talked about the money that the NBA is going to get. If college football were organized and doing it together, that same money would be there for them. In fact, it would be substantially more if they were just to go at it as an NFL model and as one entity and negotiate together. It's already set up in place. The relationships are there with Fox, with CBS and NBC. The relationships are there with ESPN on a very big level as well. If Petitti and Sankey could walk into a room and say, hey, what would you give us for all this content? The number would be bigger than it currently is. If they just played each other, the number would be bigger than it currently is. How many bad television shows are going to be made out of Big Ten games? We were lamenting about this yesterday on the men's basketball side of things. Like, if you just played the hits, the number would go up and up and up. And I think inevitably that's exactly where you're going to get. And I do think Petitti and Sankey are the type of people who can navigate this going forward. People like Ross Bjork are going to be at the front lines of what this is going to look like going forward. And to me, it makes very little sense for the schools in the Big Ten and the schools in the SEC to worry about anyone other than themselves. They haven't to this point. Why stop now? You have the power. You have the financial backing. You have the interest as the second most popular sport in this country. Now is the time to strike while the iron's hot. Get together. Come up with something on your own that is only that in terms of your ruling yourself, and you are in charge of what is to come in this sport. They have it now to do it. My hunch is that's probably where we get.
Yeah, and I think the other thing they're going to want to do in this, both leagues have never really shown, and no, none of the major power conferences have ever really shown this, you know, to even extend it out, of wanting to kick members who aren't pulling their weight out. But I do think that with the idea of paying players and this being, like, mandated, they're going to draw a line in the sand and not kick anybody out, but say, to get the Big Ten checks, to be a part of this, you have to cross into this side where you are paying and revenue sharing with the players. And I think there will be schools that are traditionally Big Ten, traditionally SEC, that say, no, we'll play around in the subdivision of Division One with the Group of Five and we'll be a part of that. It's just not, it doesn't behoove us to spend that much money on it. And I think that's going to happen. I don't know who the schools are going to be, but I think we could all come up with a short list of who they might be.
Well, you just don't, wasn't it last year we were doing the story, Reese, about Rutgers' athletic department in the red?
So that's what I was about to bring up, where if you're running this like a business, you have the Greg Sankeys and the Tony Petitis, but you also have the George Klyavkovs. It's like schools will be run poorly because there are a great many people out there who can't run businesses well. And so, like, UCLA almost had to do the Big Ten lifeline because they were running a $100 million deficit. And similarly with Rutgers. Like, I forget where, well, I'll try to find it. But there was a really nice breakdown of athletic department revenue compared to expenses. And it was the guy who did it, I think it was like Tony Altmore, I want to say, had Big Ten comparative to Mid-American Conference. Mm-hmm. And the Big Ten schools were either slightly in the green or just about even. And Ohio State was, I think, slightly in the green. Then he did MAC schools, and Ohio's in the red. Bowling Green's in the red. Toledo's in the red. And it's like, if you're going to do this as a business, it becomes, I think, ever more important you have the right people involved. But what happens when the business is run poorly? Are they excommunicated?
I don't know. And you're going to have that within, it's a great point. You're going to have that within your own conference.
Mm-hmm.
Because you bring up UCLA and the dire situation their athletic department was in. I know we did the Rutgers story last football season in terms of they've been in the Big Ten all this time. They have no money. They've ran that thing into the ground. The Big Ten has more of these than the SEC does. I'd be very curious. I don't know what the numbers, the one good thing for all of these bottom feeder at Big Ten programs though is that while they are not, maybe they're struggling with running their athletic department, they are still getting those huge checks from the conference. So they're just going to have to be smarter with the way that they use their money. Maybe they contract sports. Who knows? But yeah, there's a ton of them. From the SEC, you bring up that idea of like, hey, man, we're out on this. The only one that I could think in the Southeastern Conference that wouldn't be game would be Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that was the only one that really comes to mind. It feels like, and it doesn't always mean it's realistic. They're not always the most realistic people down there, but we've talked about it so much, how Arkansas and South Carolina, they all just think, hey, we're one right quarterback, one right coach away from being up there with Alabama and Georgia, which is not the Big Ten. I mean, even like the mid-tier as far as performance goes, but they take it very seriously, like Iowa, they are okay. We've talked about that a lot. Like, they're okay with where they're at, but they would still want to be in this level of league. But yeah, I don't know. Like, what would Northwestern, Indiana, Rutgers, as we said, what would be their interest
Minnesota, in Purdue
entering into the privatized Big Ten football world?
I don't know. I think they'd go along for the ride because the other side would be terrifying to not be associated. I mean, like, I think we would all agree that as a football entity, Auburn is kind of in the middle of the SEC, right? Probably in the middle. They're second fiddle in their own state.
Yeah.
And they're kind of in the middle of the SEC. If you add Texas and Oklahoma, they're certainly in the middle. They won a national championship.
Played for another.
Like, so no, it's that part of it's different. And then are there other entities? Because there certainly are other entities out there that would have and be viable in the terms of making television shows. For all of the fun we make of Florida State, they do rate. They had the graphic up of the audience that they get for their games. Like, Florida State has value. It doesn't have value right now to the SEC because the SEC doesn't need it, but it certainly makes sense that a school like Florida State, a school like Clemson, a school like North Carolina, there's other ones in the ACC, Miami, that make good television shows. There's still some programs out there there's less of them in the Big 12. Once Texas and Oklahoma leave, there's less of them, but Kansas basketball is something that people watch, certainly.
Arizona basketball is in there now.
Arizona basketball as well. Notre Dame is obviously the one that you're hanging on to. So that's the thing, is how do you decide who's in the club and who's not? Or do you just say the hell with it? Best of luck to all of you. We're keeping it all. Because if you just took the current, so the SEC will go to 16 teams next year. The Big Ten will be at 20. No, there's a Big Ten at 18.
18.
18. Okay. So the Big Ten's at 18. The SEC's at 16. Do you just say, we'll take these 34? You guys fight for the scraps. If they played for a national championship and it was just those two conferences, that's the one you're going to watch.
Yeah, and just take your, instead of having two teams play for the, you know, the conference title,
AFC, NFC.
Take those four, extend it out, take eight or something like that, and, you know, cross. I think it'd be, I don't know, would it make more sense to, like, cross-pollinate in the playoffs and have Big Ten and SEC teams play each other in the earlier rounds and then whoever gets to the championship? Or would you do each side? I think both would be viable, but I think I would like the cross a little bit more, because Big Ten schools would have already played each other throughout the year, so you'd want more unique matchups. But either way, would be an intriguing product.
Chopper, for sure. I think what you'd probably get is a cross-pollination in the regular season.
That's
like,
true, too.
I would just follow the NFL model. Like, I would just cross-pollinate in the season and then have an SEC playoff and a Big Ten playoff, and the winners meet.
Just to put a bow on the Rutgers thing, in fiscal year 2023, their athletic-generated revenue was $99.4 million. Their athletic department expenses, again, for fiscal year 2023, $153.5 million.
So in minus $60 million, they have to find $20 million?
And again, Sportico's the source, but Tony Altmore, and I just wanted to credit correctly giving the reporting. It's up on our Twitter at 971BFS. Only 8 Big Ten schools operated in the green in 2023.
Now, some of that's on purpose, because you're spending money because you have to. But
like, not, yeah. $60
million.
Penn State's, their revenue was 202.2. Their expenses were 202.1.
Crushed it.
Yeah. And that's double the revenue of what, more than double of what Rutgers brings
Rutgers
in.
Rutgers does. All right. Get Tim May's thoughts on all of this coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, 10:30 on a Friday. Time for our weekly visit with our good buddy Tim May, the Tim May Show, Letterman Row, and right here at The Fan. How closely or at all are you paying attention to this case where it looks like the NCAA is saying, yeah, we're going to do some revenue sharing, and they're trying to give you a number of around $20 million and 22% of revenue share. There's about a billion problems with it. But anytime you talk to people in the sport, they will quickly tell you that this is the one most administrators were watching. What do you make of the events this week?
A lot of scrambling going on, kind of like when you cut open an ant hill and the ants start running around, and they're running into each other. If you study it closely, I've been advocating, if that's the right term. I haven't been walking the streets with a sign, but I've been saying, since I've been in this business that the athletes should be sharing in the revenue, and I've been saying that for 50 years. Since I've been around it and seen the money grow, Bo.
Yes.
And now it's like, it's stupid money, mm-hmm. how much could be involved. And if you had gotten things under control, and by the way, I'm not a guy that lives in the past, but you have to point out there have been points in the past where things could have changed, when mm-hmm. TV got much more involved and there was much more money coming in. Really, the last person considered for sharing in the pie was the athlete. Mm-hmm. Coaches got more money. Administrators got more money. Little side jobs popped up, in athletic administration that weren't there 30, 40 years ago. So people have shared. Now, like at Ohio State, players get a lot more than they used to get, even from the university, because of different things that have happened in the past that have come along. And Ohio State has ushered some of those in. But the point is what became more and more popular was the actual watching the game of college football on television and sitting in a stadium. And the reason it did was the game is being played at a level that's never been played at before and is going to continue to trend that way. But the main actors are getting, you know, what do they call that in what were all the screenwriters, everybody picketing about, you know, or striking about, you know, last year in television and movies? I mean, it's like they're not getting their just share for really for production of the product, because a television show without a script is a mime event. I mean, is an improv event. Who wants to watch that every day? So my point is, yes, they should be sharing in it. How much, though, is always going to be the question. And, you know, you've heard me say this. I mean, look at the UFL right now. I was talking with Drew Christman. I got him on my podcast, on my podcast this week, and they're playing in front of a near empty stadiums, the UFL, but the football is damn real. You know, in some respects, it's savagely real, because these are guys trying to get to the NFL or get back to the NFL. And yet nobody, because it doesn't have NFL attached to it, it rings hollow. It'd be the same if you took Ohio State football players and put them in Crew Stadium and said, hey, y'all come watch a football game. Well, you got to give something to the importance of them being affiliated with Ohio State, with Alabama, with Michigan, with USC, with Texas, you know? So that has an intrinsic value that has to be considered by the athletes before they just go out and say they want 50% of the pie. They're not going to get 50% of the pie.
They're not even 20%. Saying that, though, Tim. The athletes, well, know, they're just not unionized. They don't even.
They want to. Right. Right.
You know, there's exactly. No collective bargaining here.
So how do you collective bargain? How do you collective bargain when you don't have a union on every campus? And how do you have a union if you're not employees? I mean, you know, there's so many bases. They're still up at the bat, you know, up at bat taking pitches. They're not on third base, in my opinion. I mean,
I think in certain ways they're Abner Doubleday. Like, they're still writing the rules.
Yeah. Yeah, well, truly. Some of the rules. Like, yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, they don't know how to navigate this. And, you know, you brought up the UFL model in a way that's perfect. You're right. No one's going to those games, but they're doing about 700,000, 800,000 game audience. That's double NHL playoffs. Tim.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
So like, they're people watching. Yeah. And here's the big thing when we get to this sport. And this is what I was curious to get your take on. There's no question college football is the second most popular sport in this country. If you were Greg Sankey, it's not even close. It's ascending like the NFL. If you were Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, and these are two conferences you're very familiar with and that you were raised in one of them and you made your life in another, these are the two behemoths. What's stopping the two of them from just saying, you know what, we don't need any of this. We're going to do our own thing. And by the way, maybe the NCAA would like that too, because how could they possibly govern these schools that are going to get $90 million a year on a television deal versus these schools that aren't going to make anything on a television? I mean, keep in mind, the NCAA is trying to represent Ohio State and Otterbein. That's impossible.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, to me, the better example is Ohio State. I mean, the NCAA is trying to represent Ohio State and Ohio University in the same level.
They're all under the NCAA umbrella, though.
Apples and oranges. Exactly. But the point is, I mean, this would affect Ohio University if revenue sharing, you know, comes into being, just like it would affect Ohio State. And yeah, you're right. But here's the thing. The word you're leaving out there is pride. You know, my school's better than yours. My conference is better than yours. It makes total sense for the two, maybe three, Big 12 I would count in there, and Atlantic Coast to a certain extent also, for those four to be separate in a football modeling situation, but not in almost every other sport except maybe men's basketball. And and there's a lot to be gained by being part of the NCAA in men's basketball, whereas in football, it's a total different realm, like you're talking about. And I don't know what the solution is, Bo, because to me it would make sense to have a super, I would call it a conference, a super association of those, maybe those four, and maybe, you know, weed out some who don't deserve to be part of that and maybe bring in some who do. But that's really, you know, the independence, the pride of my school's better than your school, you know, that's why college sports accelerated the way it did in the early 1900s is we've got better football players than you do, and we're going to show you. And then we're going to go out and recruit some, you know, recruit guys. We're not going to just be a y'all show up and let's put on a play. I mean, it's going, you know, it has escalated to the point now where it is big time business, and definitely the actor should be sharing much, much more of the revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to run it like an actual business. I mean, there's a billion roadblocks in this and a bunch of little stops and starts along the way.
Oh, of course.
One thing I was curious about, because when we talk about these things, and you'll hear people outraged when they'll hear that college athletes are making money. And I'm quick to point out that your actions aren't proving that. You're watching it more than you've ever watched. You're going to the games as much as you've ever gone to games. If it gets to a point where football is privatized, which to me is the only kind of path forward on this, is if you privatize the football part of it at the highest level, do you think folks would care if a kid playing football at Ohio State was a student at Ohio State or not?
They should, because that's the differentiation. Otherwise, you just have minor leagues of the National Football League. Stepping stone is more the term there. You have a stepping stone to the National Football League. Number two, you would in essence be competing with the National Football League, right? Because you'd be trying to keep guys who can really help you make more money. It has to have, I mean, this is where I agree with Gene Smith and Ross Bjork. It has to have an academic component, or what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's gotta finally involve your alumni and et cetera, and bragging that not only does Jimmy, can Jimmy run a 9.700 meters or whatever, but he goes to my school and he's actually taking classes there. That's what's really getting forgotten here. And we'll see where that goes, you know, but I'm not in favor of it being badged. I mean, reminds me of IndyCar, of racing engines. You know, it's, you know, you put the X brand on it, but it's really, that engine's really made by Y, you know? I mean,
yeah, right.
Well, what are you getting out of it except that you're paying for somebody else to do your work for you? I mean, I'm not a fan of that at all. And I don't think we're headed that direction, to be honest with you, because I think there's too much pride involved with the universities. Every university would have to sign off on that, and I'm not sure that's going to happen.
No, it is a complicated mess, my friend.
Yeah, it is.
All the
while, we just had this conversation here for 10 minutes, and you know, we really solved nothing except for the fact that we all agree the athletes should share in the revenue. But should your career be as a college football player? You know what I mean?
You're right. That's why I said there's a billion start and stops, because without an ability to be collective bargained, how do you decide what percentage of the revenue they get?
Right.
And because they're here and gone for at most 5 years, sometimes six with the COVID guys, what is the incentive for them to unionize? They're gone before they can do anything to it.
Correct. So, I used to say, I mean, Chris Spielman and I had this conversation a long time ago, that when you first show up at college football, you're excited to be there. The second year, you're trying to definitely play. The third year, you realize, hey, they're making a lot of money on my efforts. And the fourth year, about when you're ready to do something about it, you know, you're getting ready for the National Football League, if not already in the NFL. So it's that little, it's just accelerated now. You realize that people are making money and you can make money too. I mean, you know, like I told you last year there, a year and a half ago, the NIL allowed colleges to play football, to play major college football players and basketball players big time money without having to have any money come out of their pocket. Yep. That's about as good as it gets for the colleges.
It is right now for the time being. Always as good as it gets when we get to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for your time.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I like Fierceness tomorrow. That horse is remarkable.
Favorites in the Derby. Favorites in the Derby, Tim. Be careful.
Yeah, I know, man. That's why I always bet on three horses, you know. Hey, good. Get this real quick. Me and my buddy Snook were at the Super Bowl, my wife wanted me to put a wager in for us. She wanted the Chiefs, and so I took the 49ers to win, so we had a push.
Very good.
Good thing Chase Young got that one sack, though. That made me some coin.
That got you a little bit of juice. Good talking to you, brother.
See you, brother.
All right, Tim May's show, and right here on The Fan, on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destiny.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The best hair on the air.
You are listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First one up today. On Cam Hayward's Not Just Football podcast, Steelers running back Jaylen Warren says their special teams coordinator discussed the possibility of having someone else return kicks under the new kickoff rules.
I mean, I would. I think it's pretty cool. As soon as you touch the ball, that's when everything, you know, starts to happen. But our offense, or our special teams coordinator, was talking about Justin Fields being back there. We're like, hold on.
Whoa, whoa, are you breaking news already?
We looked at him like, Justin Fields about to be that back there? And, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it's cool.
Thing or not a thing?
Is this where we are? We get here where he's a special teams player? Is that it?
He's the fast quarterback who should move to wide receiver. Is that what's going on?
Is that where we're at? Yeah. Like, he's now a weapon versus a quarterback? Are we? I don't know. It could have been tongue in cheek too. Like, you know, you don't know. You know, in the new kickoff rules, there will be kick return touchdowns. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So if you have somebody who could make some, the other component to it of it would be that with a quarterback, you would be able to do a quarterback pass back across the field if a guy hung back, because you're right next to him, so it's not that hard to do. Mm-hmm. So it does open up it turning into like an actual play. So strategically, I could see it. I don't know. It'd seem wild to me, but I guess we'll see. Maybe I'm just dead wrong on all this field stuff. It's possible. I just think there's more to him at quarterback than we've seen.
Yeah, I didn't see it. This is a thing, and I saw it more to your point of they're just going to experiment with everything. Like, you're going to see position players that are just really good athletes back there trying to do whatever they can to really game this new kickoff rule up. I'm a fan of it. I didn't think they'd ever be taking stuff from the XFL, but it becomes a thing to where you don't say no to any idea, right? Any idea in the room, if you're special, especially if you're special teams coordinator, you've got Arthur Smith, you know, looking at you, be like, hey, let's try this. You're like, oh, what the hell not? I mean, you're not even into, you're just into OTAs. So yeah, it's a fun thing, I think, if anything.
It's also probably like the most intensive new thing a special teams coordinator has had to approach for a pretty long time.
It's the first thing that, here, amend that to this. This is the first ruling to the game where it allows for a special teams coordinator to be on the offensive. Yeah. Everything else has been done to take special teams thought out of the game. Right? This is the first thing that's been put in that's like, hey, now we can score out of this. So this is the first time that they've had that in a long, long time.
It was an eventful Thursday night, to say the least, for Patrick Beverley. The Bucks guard shot 3 of 11 from the field, 0 of 3 from the three-point line, scoring just 6 points in 40 minutes for the Bucks, who were eliminated by the Pacers in Game 6. With about 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Beverley was caught on camera hurling a basketball at Pacers fans sitting behind Milwaukee's bench, not once, but twice. Like, he hurls the basketball, hits a girl in the head. He asks for the basketball back, which a fan, for some reason, acquiesces. And then he throws the ball back in that same direction, striking another fan. Mm. Once the game went final, the Bucks made him available for post-game media in the locker room for some reason. Wow. Here's part of that exchange.
There was a couple of chances this game, like many of the others, where within a bucket of possession here.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
So you can't interview me then? Okay. No disrespect. Well,
Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump. Or maybe, was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over? feel like you have in the past.
Good move that Mike, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you. I think they play really well at home.
The reporter he went at, or producer, was ESPN's Melinda Adams, who is apparently beloved by the worldwide leader. Thing or not a thing?
So, huge thing for his future livelihood.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where he didn't know who he was trying to bully while he was trying to bully. And he had no idea. I don't even, maybe he didn't see the ESPN mic flag. Maybe he did. I don't know. But my hunch is he didn't recognize her. Like, would he have done this if this was one of their NBA reporters who didn't subscribe? Of course not. So he was trying to bully her. He bullied the wrong person. And now it will cost him going forward bigly in turn, because he wants to be in media.
Yeah, that's why he wants people to subscribe to his podcast.
Right, right. So, like, he got.
Yeah, and apparently he has done this, and I think you're right. Like, he's only going to do it to lower people, because he's done it to the Bucks beat this year. Like, had the same thing. Like, you got to subscribe to my podcast in order to talk to me. There are, every once in a while, when, you know, preparing for the show, you just come across something where you just wish you could use the full color of the English language outside of FCC rules, because there are some choice words I would use to describe who Patrick Beverly is, and I'll leave it at that because I can't say them on the air, but he's just the worst. He's a habitual line stepper. He's, yes, he's a defensive specialist, but you're a 6 point per game scorer and your team just lost. Like, what is your podcast? What is any of this? Just get over yourself, man. And he does it constantly
over and, over
and he is right there, right, and we're watching it in live time, of crossing the line of, like, talent and pain in the ass, and he is about to cross it into the wrong direction.
I think he just did.
Yeah,
well, and there's the suspension that's going to be coming for hurling a basketball at fans.
Oh yeah,
so, like, he's got a lot of time to do said podcast, which, it was funny earlier in the season, Giannis called him a blank hole, but he's like, but he's our blank hole.
Sure.
So he's that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's their jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's there's always room for that, but then this, it's just too much. He's done too much, and now it's going to cost him big.
Just like Draymond Green's getting close to the line with Golden State.
Yeah, there comes a point where it's just not worth the pain. All right, final hour of the week coming up next. Take a look at what should be a pretty fun weekend on the sports side of things. And what we learned this week, the biggest is obviously the giant change in what is going to happen in college sports. Also, the spring transfer portal came and went. The Buckeyes largely unscathed. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion.
I have nothing else to say.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Final hour here on a Friday. Typically, when these things go this way, it is a harbinger of things to come. Just seeing this, power forward Sean Stewart, 6'8", 225, former four-star prospect, former Duke Blue Devil, on 24/7 Sports, crystal ball to Ohio State, 100%. Now, he's not a shooter. He didn't shoot threes hardly at all, so he's not that. 6'8", 225, so this is the guy with the crazy vert. Wasn't that the deal on him? We talked about him earlier in the week. I thought he broke Zion's vert record or something like that.
It sounded like the Buckeyes were out on him, though, earlier in the week, I thought. And then
just happened right now.
Okay.
Within the last hour, crystal balled 100%. So if that holds, then you're talking about you still need a shooter.
Yeah.
Need a shooter. So they probably wouldn't, obviously, they wouldn't go anywhere else for a big. Like, Bradshaw will play the big chunk of the minutes. You do wonder, like, if they'd known what they know now, did they find a way to just keep Zed Key as the backup? And then he could have just stayed. And
if
you knew Okpara was leaving, do you just make it a better effort to keep Key? So we'll see. But the Stewart crystal ball to the Buckeyes. And usually those hit.
Yeah, I think overall the trade of Akpar and Zedki for two guys who were former very highly rated recruits that played for Kentucky and Duke. Okay. I think that's a good trade, and it's at the very least a lateral move, I would say, and probably an upgrade.
Got to get a shooter.
That's what we've been saying the entire time since the season ended.
Does that make one scholarship spot available, though, for Ohio State?
If that holds, then yes. Yeah. It's too bad Jake's little brother doesn't have some eligibility, because he'd be kind of perfect.
Well, what is eligibility anymore, right?
If he brought him in.
Yeah, that's right. You go to Lucasville, sir. I'll be damned if we're going to hire the all-time three-point shooting score record holder in the Big Ten.
What are his qualifications? He's just your brother.
Not qualified to coach at Ohio. He's your brother, damn it. You go to jail. All right, let's do what we learned.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
We've talked about it a lot today. It is the... it's certainly the biggest story of the week, and it is this House case. I don't want to get all the way back into it again. We've done it a lot over the course of this show, as it happened last night, and it's trending in that direction. But we are headed for full sail changes in college football, college sports. When Tim and I were talking at 10:30, and you can listen to that wherever you get your podcasts. I know we put it out on the social channels as well once we do that. He and I both kind of come to the same spot where every time you take a step forward, there is two steps back. And it's question upon question that without answers. All of this while there's no representation for players. It's just a very convoluted, tough spot that they're in. And I just think in order to get a resolution, in order to get some sort of vision, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have to do their own thing. And they can't worry about anybody else, quite honestly, because I don't know where it stops if they don't. Who do you decide who's going to be part of this club and who's not part of this club? Heck, in the Big Ten, not so much for the SEC, but in the Big Ten, there's several that have no business being in the club to begin with. And so what does that look like going forward? But all the start and stops happen when you start saying, well, how do you worry about this school? How can this school give up 20%, 22% of its revenue? Fine, for Ohio State, that's very manageable. We brought up Rutgers, who's in the league, that's operating bigly in the red. How can they function with that? The short answer is they can't. So there needs to be real leadership. There's going to be enormous change, and Petiti and Sankey are going to be the ones driving it, and they're going to be the ones that write how this goes going forward.
All the while, I agree with you that $20 million number sounds low for the top, at least, you know, the Ohio States, the Georgias, that kind of world. And then it's always, yes, a new stone unturned every time you talk about this, and then somebody else says something, and you go, huh? Because Tim said something when you were talking to him that stuck out to me that made me jump to the next part. I kind of disagree with them on the idea of, like, if people care about them being students. I just don't think that is, like, yeah, the idea of it maybe, and you romanticize it, but they're barely, like, active students on campus anymore, right? You know, from a football standpoint. But he brought up he said, what are they going to do? Be professional college football players? And I said, yeah, without students, but what is the eligibility? When do they have to leave? If it's privatized and they're not students.
So that doesn't even have to be their rule, though, Chops. They can just stay with the NCAA's or the NFL's ruling on that. So the NFL says
just jump to the NFL.
And just defer.
Yeah.
The NFL's rule is you have to be 3 years removed from graduating high school.
But so what about the players who aren't good enough for the NFL?
So the ones who aren't good enough, that would be the tricky spot.
Yeah. You better learn Canadian, bud.
Yeah. Like, what is the age?
If they don't have eligibility, can they play until they're 30?
Talia Tagovailoa tried playing for a seventh season.
Yeah, he did.
He tried.
He tried to transfer and get another year of eligibility.
Tried to get another year with a hardship on the injury. So, like, he had a COVID year, two injury years. Like, he was going for a seventh year. So, like, there would have to be an age ceiling of, like, 24, 23. I don't know what that would look like.
Well, what do you do with guys who played baseball and then come in? Yeah.
And Chris Wanky, who played baseball. No, but this is it. This is why nothing gets done. Because as soon as you say, well, let's do this, then there's, well, what about this? And there's no path. And when you when you take that and then multiply it over the course of how many different conference commissioners, how many different university presidents, how many different athletic directors, that's why nothing gets done.
Yeah.
There's just way too damn many voices with way too varied of standing in the sport.
And I think the ticking clock on the eligibility is also one of the things that makes college football a little bit more magical. And it's the idea that the guys who are good then move on to the NFL. Yeah. And your team, your school is always there. And yeah, if there's like career college football players, then I do think they need to make sure that doesn't happen, because then you do start to approach lesser leagues. Then is it like, how is this different than the UFL at that point?
I wonder just how closely, if at all, like The Rock's watching this, because they're set to, they could gain in a big way from this increased privatization of college football.
The VC world is circling right
just,
now.
There's just not enough NFL spots unless they dramatically increase the rosters for all the kids that are playing and making NIL money. Yeah. Even if you want, because then you can really get down a long rabbit hole with this, because then I go to, what if kids just, I'm done it with high school, I don't feel like going to a college route, or I haven't been recruited by the right colleges, but here's The Rock with a couple million, what's his energy drink, a Zoa sponsorship. I'll take that.
The problem with that part, though, like the UFL being like a, it's just, think of, like the NBA has even mobilized the G League, and they still couldn't make it work.
They had to get rid of the Ignite team.
They couldn't make it work because it just, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have the affiliation. You have to have.
You didn't watch Thursday night UFL last night, Bo?
I did not. No.
It was somebody playing somebody.
No, but like I brought up to Tim, though, like people make fun of it. And it's like it's doing 700,000-800,000 viewers. That's more than golf. That's more than the NHL.
That's more than the NHL playoffs.
Like, it's better than, they're doing better than that. So that was probably the big, the portal. One of the things that while I was pretty right on this in terms of where this was all heading from in college sports and the pay for play and the privatization, all of the things that I think are coming there, I was wrong on this. I really thought the spring portal would be ultra busy. I really thought Alabama would be ultra aggressive in the portal. They weren't. I am shocked that five quarterbacks remain at Ohio State. Austin was on with the Juice Bringers this morning, and he echoed one of the things he said with us and kind of just went through the roster of like, look, Howard and Devin Brown are still competing. Brown burnt the boats, so that would go against what he said, and he's a man of his word, so he's going to compete. Keenholz didn't view himself as I got to start by the second year guy anyway, so what better place to be developed than at Ohio State with Chip and Ryan and all that? And the other two are freshmen. So they're all here. I'm shocked that they're all still here. I think it's going to make for a very challenging fall for Ryan Day and Chip Kelly to keep them engaged, because you can't roll reps like you did in spring.
No.
So you got to get one guy ready. You got to get a backup ready. Everybody else's scout team, that's not many. That's a lot of mouths to feed with not a lot of porridge at the bottom of that roster and in that room. So that will be a fascinating thing that they try to navigate this fall.
Yeah, and you got to pick a start. At some point, somebody's going to know that they're not the starter, not the chosen starter. So that's also a factor with it. Except for like Colorado and Texas A&M, the ones that have like real portal problems every year. It's just constantly filtering in and out. The spring transfer window was way quieter than I thought it was. I agree with you that not just locally here at Ohio State, but across the country as well. I just thought there would be a lot more that you'd see this. The guys go through spring and they say, I want another chance there. But I'm the only thing I can think of is, because Ohio State, there's a few more reasons that can make sense there that you can get to. And NIL is definitely a factor for some of the guys. But the only other reason I can think of is kind of what you said, but extrapolated out for the outside of quarterback, even like, where are you going to transfer to that you're going to supplant yourself as a starter if everybody else just went through spring there and now you have to arrive and in fall camp learn everything, acclimate yourself to a new position? I mean, obviously there's star players who could do that, but if you're not already a starter somewhere else, is transferring in the spring window even netting guys starting positions at the next location? And maybe it's not, and that's why they're responding this way in this window.
Yeah, Dion would tell you they don't have a portal problem. So it's fine. Nothing to see here, folks.
Oh, yes.
As he's like punching down on FCS players earlier this week saying he has time. It's like, buddy, you might have time right now, but you had better hope that what you are doing now, what you have done in the portal, and how really chesty you have been in your lack of, I think it's real lack of portal understanding, but how chesty you have been in how your team is made up, better result in some wins this season and more than just four.
It's funny. The perception was that when he took the Colorado job, obviously, he was trying to grow, but it was also a bigger stage for his son. And there was no other way to ensure that Shadur would be like the dude on a campus, right? And he would get to go lead a Power 5 program. That was kind of the perception. Now, where would he be without him? Where would Deion be without his kid? Because if his kid and Travis Hunter aren't there, what's left? Which gets me back to kind of like where I am with them. Yeah, punching down on a kid at Austin Peay, that's ridiculous. Punching down on a kid from Moultrie, Georgia, also ridiculous. It's a recruiting hotbed down there. That's Colquitt County. That's a powerhouse. And the idea that you would punch down on that, it's so unbecoming. Your kid punching down on it, ridiculous. And all the while, like, what exactly do you have here? So the longer, I thought this, it's hard for me to imagine him here, there next year. It feels to me like he'll do this year with Shadur and then that's it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he said he's not falling into the NFL, and it's like, that's not what, but it's also like, that's not exactly what people were suggesting. We just, you might just be done with coaching in general and just hang it up because he doesn't, especially at the college game, he does not seem interested in doing the responsibilities of a college head football coach. So what are you doing here? And yeah, once his son's gone and Travis Hunter's gone, because he's not recruiting, he's not restocking with the Travis Hunter level or even, you know, the next level below that. They're barely recruiting and they're just hoping that they're picking up guys in the portal. But how many seasons of 4-8 or worse or right around that can you withstand and still entice guys to jump out of their current situation and go play for you at Colorado?
Deion's doing what I hope Deion wasn't going to do with this, was promote Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
and that's really all this amounts to.
We should have known better, probably.
Yeah, that's a failure of us.
You did tell us to call him Coach Prime.
yeah. I mean, if you think back to, because he was like trying to run a high school in the Dallas area, and that went belly up.
Scam almost.
Yeah. So, like, I'll tell you, having had the chance to interview him several times when I was in Tallahassee, it's easy to drink the Kool-Aid he's selling, baby.
Yeah.
He's a smooth operator. Yeah, and he can turn it on in a second. As charismatic as anybody I've ever come across. We'll preview a very, very busy sports weekend coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one. Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable. And our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Uncle Bo here with my great friends at RCD RV. And when you want to get away, there's no better solution than hitting the open roads in an RV from RCD. Brings me back my youth, certainly out west, under the stars, fresh mountain air. Sidle up next to a stream. Who gets hurt? Nobody. That's the answer. It could all be yours. Your journey starts at RCD RV. RCD has RVs at every budget to fit your need. New campers as low as $13,995. New, pre-owned, everything, travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, whatever you're looking for, they got you. Three locations to serve you in Central Ohio or online anytime at rcdrv.com. We had talked earlier about so apparently the NBA deal is going to happen. We're going to know about it today. Charles Barkley was on Dan Patrick's show this morning and told him that he had spoken with Ernie Johnson and that Turner had to today to match the NBC offer. The NBC Universal offer for the NBA. And so they'll do it today. So he spoke with Ernie Johnson about it last night. Charles will become a free agent. He's unsure about inside the NBA moving forward to another network because the show wouldn't be the same without Ernie Johnson. Ernie says he isn't leaving Turner. He's a lifer. He's not. So that would be the end of it. If that were the case, that would be the end of inside the NBA. And then, you know, who knows what the path for, how much of that show, so much of that show was Chuck, and then Ernie, I would say, is second, and then Charles, Shaq, and Kenny, roles they play, like, how does that all shake out? And then from a salary standpoint, how could any network afford to pay them? Because so much of how they are compensators for the ensemble, all of them. So it's kind of a mess. Turner has had, by the way, guys, Turner has had NBA rights for over 40 years. So my entire life, the NBA has been on Turner.
I would also say for them too, like, unless the price gets too good, don't give it up. Don't give up inside the NBA like as like a trademark of a show. Hold on to that because it's valuable. Because now NBC, it looks like they're going to get it. They sold Round Ball Rock to Fox.
That's
for
true.
For some reason. And now they're back in the NBA and they're going to have to, if they want to use it, which they should, everybody loves it, they're going to have to go to Fox and get some sort of licensing agreement with them. Or maybe Fox is a licensing agreement, but either way, it's sticky.
I mean,
very.
This was 2021, so David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, said that they didn't need the NBA.
That guy says they don't need anything. He's the one who says that he's the one who did Max. He's the one that minimized HBO.
He's like, the one who shelved the finished movies for tax write-offs.
Yeah, it's all been him.
And he got a raise this year.
Is he Spider-Man meme George Kliavkov?
Kind of.
Feels like it.
So I guess like to say that, that feels like that's their attitude towards that. Because you're right, Chops. You have such a property that's been for several decades, but it's like they don't care.
Here's the thing that
they need to make money now. It's every quarter. You got to show the shareholders that you made money this quarter.
Here's the thing that the streamers are wrapping their heads around, and why there is a relentless pursuit of sports. It's really hard to create a hit television show, right? So while NBC is, I put him onto Arrested Development, or I put him onto Friday Night Lights, or that One Tree Hill thing that he watched.
I asked J-Lo about that.
What'd she have to say?
The bad guy, his name is Nathan, and she says, he's not a bad guy. He's just his estranged half-brother. The real bad guy is the dad.
Well, that's okay. It's clear that the dad is a big bad. But okay, so then the first episode, Nathan is pretty jerk too. But we'll see how it all plays out. But the point I was going to make is, it's really hard to create a hit television show. Guess what's even harder than creating a hit television show? Creating a hit television show that's sustainable, that keeps continually producing new episodes of said show. Guess what continually does that? Sports. Sports does that. Yeah, it's there. There's a new television show every night. The NBA, even though the ratings aren't what they used to be, they produce a new television show 82 nights a year per team.
And it's
doing that model with all of these streamers. They try to find these things that hit and miss. And yeah, every once in a while you have a great hit. Look at what Paramount gave to Sheridan off the Yellowstone. They basically gave him $250 million and green light to do anything he wanted. I don't know if any of that stuff's hitting or not.
Yeah,
it's all on the Paramount app, but I don't know if any of that stuff's hitting.
The other thing that works perfectly with sports, and they were trying to shove this through, advertisement. It's already built into, even just into the games, but into our expectation of watching a game. So when I watch a sport on a streaming service, I don't really think much about the commercials. But when I watch a TV show on a streaming service, and then it goes to commercial, that's like, this is what I'm paying for this already. But you're not going to get that with sports. And it's because it's live, the ratings are so much more tangible in the moment. You know, you can say how many hours people watched whatever show or whatever movie you put out, but you know that you're going to have roughly, you know, in an estimate, this amount of viewers, and then you can sell that to advertisers, and that's where they want to go now. That's the next revenue stream that they're going, because as we've said many times, they just reinvented cable on the internet.
That's what I said to Marshan yesterday when I was talking to him. I said, wait a second. So what you're telling me is it'd be nice if there was a place where we get all of this stuff through one portal, pay a price for that, and then watch it all whenever we want it. And he started laughing because it's like, yeah, that's what they're doing. They're just
re-engineering. Bo played the long game. And
I
actually
did.
It came back around for you.
Come on, Spectrum. They owe me. I hadn't be paying for anything with my cable bill as opposed to $1,000 a month.
At least days of free cable. Maybe months.
I know people at Spectrum. They had to take care of me for all the pub I give them positively. Pretty busy sports weekend. You've got Kentucky Derby on Saturday. They pushed that.
Why is it at 7?
They pushed it. So this was forever a 6:20 Eastern post was when it was. I know this because when I was a weekend sports guy, I would try to time out my sportscast to either be done or not begun at so I could watch it live. This was 20 years ago, but they moved it all the way back to 6:57. My only thing I can think of is so that it bleeds into their prime time
what's on
somehow.
NBC Saturday night.
I don't know, maybe they find a way to bleed it into that. Well, maybe soon it'll be the NBA. Who knows? So 6:57 on the post time on that one. You have Cavs and Magic tonight at 7. And then from an NBA perspective, just so you're aware of kind of where we are on all of this, there is still a game 6 between the Clippers and the Mavericks. That's tonight at 9:30. Are those the only two series still going?
Yep.
Because the Knicks closed out, the Pacers closed out. So it's those two.
Just that. Just the Cavs. Magic and, yeah.
It looks like it's probably just local stuff from your NBC affiliate, because the NBC, like the big one, has, you know, all the stuff that goes everywhere. And it's Kentucky Derby at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. And then the next thing listed is 11:30 p.m. for SNL. So they're okay. Not even really leading. I guess they're leading into your local programming. But
how in the world are you going to have so it's 6:57 Eastern is the post time for this race. They start racing at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that?
Well, it's basically what it amounts to is like if memory serves, it's like a race every 45 minutes. Like if you're actually at Churchill Downs, they race all day long.
Yeah.
It's a meet. So it's not like that you're just there all day waiting for the Kentucky Derby. Like there are big races that happen throughout the day leading into the Kentucky Derby. Like there's a turf race. It's a big one.
And if you and wanted to go, like you can't just show up at like 2:30 and expect to be ready, like in your seat with
Derby?
A drink, right? Like you have to be there early in the morning,
not
and
10
then hope you can stay awake.
Yeah, I would say you're probably looking at if you're there around noon, you're probably pretty safe.
There are people there today.
Oaks.
Yeah,
Kentucky Oaks is today.
Okay.
Kentucky Oaks used to be like for the locals, because it's a Phillies race.
Okay,
female horse race, like. I think 3-year-old fillies or 2-year-olds. So that race is today. So that's where that one is.
Okay, I just saw you had some pictures of people clearly at a horse track.
Yes. Yeah. That's today. We'll do a little horse trading with Doug LeMaurice coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men in bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable. And our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
After putting up with Tom Tiberi for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Friday, 11:30. Set out on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Conversation with our good buddy Doug LeMaurice, the podcast, Kings of Columbus, Kings of the North. You and I have been down this road many, many times. And one of the things that you're a big proponent of is, look, it's about the ball. It's about the fans. The fans are winning. They're watching the sport more than they ever have. It's the second most popular sport in the country. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So we have this news this week of, hey, we're going to do a revenue split. It's going to be 22%. It's going to be 20 million caps, so forth and so on. Let's push that aside for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the fans that you talk to and that you interact with, would they care if a kid playing for Ohio State attended Ohio State as a student or not?
I think they would at the beginning. I do. I do think they would. I think alums, and again, you don't have to be an alum of Ohio State to love Ohio State. We know that. But I do think they would care. I think it would be generational to some extent. But I think a broad swath would care at the beginning until you get used to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because that's one of the great things about college football that goes beyond professional sports. The connection for some people in that way is stronger. And so if you lose some component of that, but I also think they would get used to it, because I've surveyed our followers. And I asked them some very specific questions about the future of college football.
Mm-hmm.
And on the individual questions, they were all like, I'll be okay. But overall, when I said, like, are you worried about the future? They said, yes, I'm worried about the future. But when I broke it down, why, they weren't worried individually. So I think there are people who are like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, it's going to change. But when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, they're like, no, I'd be okay with that. And then it's like, guess what? I think you're actually going to be okay with it. But it would take time. that connection would be different. It would take a little time, but I think it would be okay, at least in the end.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think they would get to okay at least maybe even quicker than that. The there would have to be parameters on time. You could represent an institution, so forth and so on. Obviously, you wouldn't want 10-year college players because that's not what the that's not what we I don't think that would win in any way, shape, or form. But I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like the outrage of it. Of yeah, this is outrageous. But I like how many people realize that the majority of these kids are doing online classes anyway. This isn't like the old days where
themselves not necessarily interacting all that much with the student body. Like that's a very good point that on what it's like, why hammer that home right now? Why remind the fans of like, this guy's barely a student as it is. Like, what's the point of that? But if we get to that world that you're describing, that could be something we could help explain to them of like, listen, man, you know, they're not necessarily sitting in psych class with 70 other kids worrying about the midterm the same way the non-athletes are, right? Some of them are, but some of them aren't. So, like, again, there's a not a facade, but what you don't know maybe won't hurt you. So I do think that's a good point.
Do you see any scenario how the SEC and the Big Ten don't go at this alone? What would be the... What is their motivation? I mean, you see this stuff, and as soon as I see this reporting from Dellinger last night, I'm thinking to myself, well, this opens up the can of worms of 15 more lawsuits. They're trying to avoid the lawsuits. I don't know how they can.
Yeah.
How does – if you're Petiti and Sankey, don't you just say, hey, let's us handle this, and we'll do it on our own, and we'll take football and privatize? Like, isn't that the way – isn't that the simplest way? And, yes, when I say simple, boy, that's – that's as most complicated, simple as I can say. But to me, I don't see any scenario where that's not the end game here.
You know, that's what I've always thought. Again, like we kind of built a show around that, the idea that we think it's going to break Big Ten SEC. We think it's going to break North-South. That makes a lot of sense. I have become a little more open to the idea of a third something existing. I don't think it'll be four. But if there's a group of teams that neither the SEC or the Big Ten want because they are not additive from a TV revenue standpoint, but collectively that group of 10, 12, 15 schools really still want to hang with the big boys, and they could be some kind of Texas-based conference. I do think there's room for a version of the Big 12 if the SEC and the Big 10 don't want TCU and Baylor and Arizona State and BYU and Cincinnati, but those schools still want to give it a go, and they can say, okay, well, we're having a playoff. We're going to take these many bids, but you can have one or two, and that way it connects that portion of the audience, which collectively is still worth something. We want to keep those fans engaged. Yeah. I could see that, but it would be like a power two and an other one, or it might just be a power two. But, yeah, the bottom line, and as long as like – and Brett Yormack, I mean, the Big 12 commissioner, is kind of acting like, hey, you know, it's not like they're breaking off as much as people think, but I also think he's willing to do whatever it takes to go along. So if it's we each get five bids, you get one, they'd probably go along with that. And so in that world, I maybe could see another conference hanging on.
Yeah, he watched Kliavkov. Like, he's not going to be like, you can't play too chesty. Well, take whatever you give us, boys. As long as we're invited to the party, we're happy. I mean, that's kind of his view of this thing. It's when you think of the when you read the Dellinger stuff last night, what were because there's a billion little start and stops and roadblocks. What was the first thing that jumped out to you in terms of what is kind of being proposed there?
I mean, I do think the main thing and you know, my kid got home from college last night, so I didn't maybe read everything, Bo.
Sure, like, yeah, you're, you know, I won't hold it against you.
It's May. But just the idea of the specific formation of the collective bargaining, right, and the idea of, all right, this $20 million per school would be 22% of the revenue here, and that we're getting down to sort of the brass tacks of, because that's the bottom line of everything, is how do you share money? And if they have a real plan that is based on, because right in the pro sports, it's basically 50-50, is it not?
Correct,
right?
Correct.
With like
yes.
The owners and the players. And so, okay, like it's a 22% now. I'd be very curious how long it would stay at only 22%, but it's a starting point. You know, when you get, that just starts to feel like that's the number one thing. It's getting more real. They're getting to actual answers on this. And while I want to talk about the football, you realize how much that affects the football. And so I'm very excited about specific answers in how exactly the revenue gets shared. And so I thought, like, when you're in percentages and, like, this is how we're thinking, it's like, oh, good, good, good. That's an actual plan.
I think you're going to get to a point where, and I think most fans are here, like, they just want their game on a Saturday. They just want to root for Big State U, and they want the best games possible. And I understand it's just 1 year, but, like, you look at Ohio State's schedule next year and you say, okay, like, if you only played super conference teams, that's better than this. The addition of Oregon, USC, UCLA, and Washington made the league better than what we're going to be served next year. So, like, in the end, the consumer will win. And I think, Doug, the reason they'll win is because at the root of all of this, I've been saying this for years, folks, they're making television shows. That's really what it's about.
That was one of the questions I asked our listeners was, do you think the Saturdays will be better? And a large majority said yes.
Sure.
And so we're pondering, I want to start a thing on Kings of the North where we start rewatching old Northern classic games and start talking about them. Mm-hmm. So I was watching briefly, 1982, Penn State versus Nebraska was a banger, absolute banger.
Wow.
I'm watching it on YouTube last night. Awesome. We're going to talk
about it. That's
great. Penn State wins that game. Do you know what Penn State did the next week after beating Tom Osborne in a banger?
Well, they're an independent.
They lost to Alabama.
Yeah.
They were an Eastern independent. They played Nebraska and Alabama in back-to-back weeks in September.
Yep.
And so you think about a world where it's like, is it better for Penn State that they join the Big Ten? Yes. Is it better for Penn State that instead of playing Nebraska and Alabama in back-to-back weeks, they're playing Rutgers and Maryland and Indiana? Mm-hmm. No. So if we get back to a world where you're doing that on the regular, you're not playing one or two games like that a year, you're playing five or six, how is that not better for everybody? And you go back, and Ohio State fans know this, you look through the Cooper years, it's like, oh, what was Ohio State doing in the non-conference? Like, oh, they were playing LSU, and then they played Pitt, and then they played Texas A&M, and it's like, that, give me that. So the Saturdays, I think, will be better, and of course, that's good.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's what they had to do. I mean, that's how Bowden built the Florida State program. There was a stretch where he played Pitt, Ohio State, LSU, like all consecutively. Like that's how you did it in those days, and it was fine. And with a playoff, it should be fine again. So I think that this is all going to be a net win for the sport, but it is going to be an incredibly complicated time of it. And I just see no scenario. You get too many cooks in the kitchen, right, Doug? And because you're trying to argue over, there's too many people who want their voices heard, and inevitably it'll just come down to those two power conferences is what it's going to be.
It does feel like it's accelerating a little bit, though, right? Yes. Like we understand it's chaos. Just get through it. Get through it. So, like, what's happened, the reporting, the discussions, 22% revenue sharing, getting NIL in-house, it feels like the discussions have accelerated in the past month, and that is wonderful news. We understand the chaos is here now. We just want it to end. And we want the end result to be the best Saturdays possible. And I think I like that it's speeding up.
I agree with you, my friend. Great talking to you, buddy. Talk to you again soon.
All right, brother. Thanks, Bo.
All right, that's Doug LeMaurice, Kings of Columbus, Kings of the North, and the podcast, joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Three things on a Friday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what do we have on the poll?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's poll asks, what are you most looking forward to watching this weekend? Derby, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or Major League Baseball are your options. The Derby's getting 45% of respondents. NHL playoffs getting 20%. You got a game 7 between the Leafs and Bruins tomorrow. NBA playoffs at 17% and Major League Baseball at 16%.
It's funny how the Derby on its own, right? Because that would not be the answer if you did 2 weeks at the Preakness or in 5 weeks at the Belmont. But it's just there's something about the Derby that it still wins. It wins. It'll do a big number, too. All right, three things on a Friday. Hit it.
One, two.
Three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right, speaking of what I'm going to watch this weekend, probably the thing I'm most excited to watch, and it's going to time out just perfectly in that I will be home and have nothing to do, is Leafs and Bruins on Saturday night. So I've been watching the series throughout. I just love the history of the two franchises. I love the story of Toronto and that city who cares about hockey as much as anybody, and the fact that they have had so little success. They were down 3-1 in this series. They've won the last two games without Austin Matthews, who's had this illness that he's dealing with. Last night was electric. The game on Saturday in Boston will be as well. If you're looking around and on the fence, find it, watch it, you'll win.
So I got about 2 years out of this, normal maintenance, but I have an electric mower. My yard's small enough. It's really manageable, but the battery's not getting through the whole yard right now. So I need to buy a new battery for it. That kind of stinks, but hey, I haven't been buying gas. I don't have to do oil, all that stuff. It kind of evens out, I think, over the time. But it is embarrassing when I'm trying to get just the last few strips. I'm talking like single digit minutes left of mowing, and I can't get through it, and I have to go and put it on the charger. And then the professionals are across the street laughing at me. They're not actually laughing at me, but I think they are, on their zero turn as they just blow through one of my neighbor's yards in minutes while I'm sitting there waiting for the battery to recharge. So, that was what I went through yesterday afternoon.
That's one for me.
I pay the people, Chops.
You too someday, Chops.
Someday.
Quick update on the Patrick Beverley situation. The ESPN producer, Melinda Adams, tweeted, "I want to thank everyone for their kind words and support. I am humbled. Patrick Beverley just called me and apologized. I appreciate it and accept it. The Bucks also reached out to apologize. I've been in news for 40 years, and kindness and grace always win."
Okay, what if she doesn't work for ESPN?
Nothing.
What about the other Bucks reporters that were told by Pat Bev this season?
So he just, like I said when we talked about this in Thing or Not a Thing, he just picked the wrong person to bully.
Because he even tweeted that he would be better, and that was the being better in regards to the chucking basketball at fans' heads incident.
Right.
No, you won't. This is you. No.
He's been like this too long. Yeah, there's no way you can believe him.
This is who he is. Number two for me. So last night we get home after lacrosse practice and explaining to Bootsy what track and field was, and they wanted to go jump in the pool. They were all sweaty, wanted to go jump in the pool, so fine, go do it. So the little neighbor girls, they were over, they were going to come over. I look over, like, my guy Bootsy is swimming in his boxer briefs. No swim trunks. I go, what are you doing, dude? And then not only was he swimming in his boxer briefs, that then, like, went out and they were playing, like, lacrosse and soccer and stuff, and he's running around in his boxer briefs. I said, this is where we're at? Like, at 8, we don't have the time to go put on swim trunks? And he just smiled, as if he knew all along that this was his plan, was just to parade around.
I think you're raising like a Wooderson or something going on
again,
there.
High ceiling, low floor.
Yes.
That's no middle ground. I won't put this one on social because I don't want to embarrass him with it, but it's nuts.
Maybe you have to go out there in your boxer briefs to show him that it's not that cool.
This is what it's all about. What do you think about this? Let the boy watch this.
Second one for me. Went to a trivia night with some friends at a bar last night. Trivia is a lot of fun, and it always surprises me how much I'll know about a subject. But it's annoying when I know a bunch of facts around the answer that I'm very certain of, but I don't know the one thing we're looking for. And the specific one last night was like, it was about Ohio, the state of Ohio, and when they became a state. And it was which number in the union were they? So I was like, okay, I know 1803 because I remember the bicentennial in 2003. Yeah. So I know they became a state in 1803. I know the number has to be above 13, 13 original colonies. They obviously would have been before Ohio. And so we ended up guessing 16. Do either of you know?
18?
Yeah, right in the middle. It was 17. So we were close, but it was just frustrating because I'm like, I know I'm close, but that is just the fact that I don't know. And I asked Bobby because he likes history. He didn't know it off the top of his head. And I was like, I don't think that's one of the facts we really get taught.
You're not taught that.
No. Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be a Miami Dolphin. He's signing a one-year, $3 million deal. ESPN says incentives can push that to $8 million. So,
well, he won't can reach pick the him. Incentives.
He can pick him, though.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. The throwback Dolphins jersey Beckham Jr., whatever number he wears, is going to be pretty money. That'll look good. He always looks... He's so swagged out.
Yeah.
Like, he always looks good. Number three for me. So as luck would have it, I don't have duties this afternoon as I typically do. And my wife was like, I was telling her that this morning. She goes, why don't you tell me? And so the reason that I don't tell her is because if I tell her, she will find things that I need to do. Whereas if it just springs on her, then I actually get kind of a little bit of a freebie. So in the time that we were doing this show, I got what looks to be about 8 texts from her among the duties that I now have. I have to pick up all of the kids from school. Some dude is coming to look at the garage floor, which apparently that didn't go well. So he's going to come and maybe we have to do a replacement of that. And I also have to pick up something at Costco. So that's my afternoon. So what was supposed to be like...
Your time off is her time off, actually.
That's basically what happened. And she's at her sister's doing wedding invitations. Great. Fantastic.
Would you rather do that? Would you trade?
No, I would rather do this. But come on.
Last one for me. Both of these are good, but sometimes it's great to just not have plans for the weekend. So like yesterday, I just asked Jayla, I was like, do we have any plans this weekend? She's like, no, not really. And I was like, that's good. You know, we had the party last week and had people over. I'm okay with it. This is just going to be a nice, relaxing weekend. It's going to rain this afternoon. I'll stay inside. I'll read a book, pop on the NBA once that starts. It'll be a good weekend.
Yeah, the no plans weekends are some of the best. If you do have plans or if you are out, Tyvus and I will be doing the Saturday Spectacular tomorrow at noon. Gigantic announcement at 1 o'clock.
Oh,
my God. So tune in if you're available.
Well, we will be. We'll be listening. I'll be at lacrosse all afternoon. I'll be listening to you guys in between. So you'll steer me through it. Rothman and Ice up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back Monday. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This baseball action update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Reds are at home tonight against the Orioles, -107 for Cincinnati on the money line. Reds are at 16-15 on the year. The Guardians are also at home taking on the Angels. Cleveland is -180 on the money line tonight. Guardians holding on to a 1.5 game lead in the AL Central. For your Tipico action update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. A big game 6 for the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight down in Orlando as they face the Magic at 7. JB Bickerstaff knows this one's going to be a battle.
I mean, you're just getting ready for a fist fight. You know that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be a physical game. You know, we expect that. But, you know, it's one of those things where mentally you got to be prepared from the start.
Jared Allen, who missed Game 5, is a game-time decision. After a day off yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds start a series with the Baltimore Orioles down at Great American Ballpark. Hunter Green versus Cole Irvin is the pitching matchup. First pitch at 6:10. The Cleveland Guardians are back at Progressive Field, starting a series with the Los Angeles Angels at 7:10. Tanner Bibee gets the ball for Cleveland opposite Jose Soriano. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Earn a $200 cash bonus at BMI when you open a new free checking account. Visit BMI.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.